Hello, I can
Oh,
finally hear
finally,
you.
yay!
I'm so sorry. Gosh, that was hard.
Nah, it's not you. It's just connection. It's
Yeah,
just connection.
it's okay. How
How
are
are
you?
you?
I'm well. How are you? Thank you for having me. This is so exciting.
We've been wanting to have you on for a while, so we're glad it's finally happening.
Oh, thank you.
How are you? How's your day
How's your week
going?
going? I'm good. I just finished having dinner, and What'd you have?
what'd you have?
I made homemade chicken wings and potato chips.
Mmm, that's nice. What'd
With
you
a
have for dinner?
I had fries. You
You had
had
fries?
no rice.
Rice and what?
I had stew,
Oh.
but I also put ayamashi on the side. I
Okay.
ate.
Wait, how'd you get ayamashi?
I made it. No, I'm sorry. Yam porridge.
I was like, when did you make ayamashi?
Sorry, yam
And
porridge.
I made some spinach and salmon and rice.
Okay. You It's nice. Yeah. stuck with the fifth fam.
Yes, so my sister. We have to continue
The journey
till the
continues.
wheels fall off.
It.
But yeah, shall we start tapping? Okay,
Yes.
we're just gonna do a quick intro
Intro.
and we'll introduce you in,
Okay.
okay? So in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi guys, welcome to the Sisters Like Friends podcast. My name is Helen.
My name is Abby, and we have a special
We
guest.
have the amazing, the beautiful, the energetic, the fit fam gal.
Yes.
What are we calling you, Janet? Or do you
Yeah.
want us to call you Lola Fitness? Which
No,
one?
Janet's fine.
Oh, we have the amazing Janet on. Fabulous, darling.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How
Thank you for coming.
thank you for coming, yes. Because like, you know, when you ask people, you just never know and
People
stuff
get
like that.
shy.
Yeah, people get shy. People always
Oh,
have
okay. No,
imposter anxiety.
I'm shy on camera, but I'm not shy on podcast. I'm like, I feel like I would do very well on radio, but not like
Yeah.
YouTube or anything
Yeah,
like
that's what
that.
most people say.
I
Most
think
people are
so
like,
too.
oh, I thought it was gonna be videos. Like, nah, we won't do that to you.
Yeah, no.
Nah.
No. It's chill vibes over here.
Good vibes only.
Please.
Okay.
How is the little mister? How is Daniel? How is Daniel is
Daniel?
well. Daniel is
That's
well. He's upstairs. I can hear him running around. I've asked him to bear with me and to be quiet because he's off this week of school.
Oh, yeah,
So
midterms. Good.
he has no bedtime right now. He's kind of just chilling.
Oh, I
But
love it.
I love seeing him. He looks so like he's so cute and polite. You
he
can tell, like
is.
you raise him
Oh, I
well.
love when he says, "Thank you, mommy."
Yeah.
Oh,
So
it
cute.
melts my heart
And then
with
when
his
he'll be
little
doing
Irish
the
accent.
yeah, and then he'll be doing the stuff with like the exercise for her as
With
well. I'm
you,
like, oh,
yeah.
my
Oh,
chest.
oh
It is the
no, he
cutest
is.
thing.
He's
So
upset. For people who don't know, basically Janet has a son. He is what, 8?
He's 7. Seven.
Seven.
Oh
He's
wow.
7. Wow, he's a tall 7 as
Like,
well.
oh no, that's mad. That's
How
actually
does it
mad.
feel?
It's still surreal. Like every year, I'm like, how are you this age? Like every year, I'm always like in my feelings and I'm like
Oh.
shocked and I'm just like, we've made it this far. You know,
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
Oh.
we've almost done our first decade. I'm so excited for you to be
Wow. Oh
10.
my God, a decade with someone who came out of you.
Yeah.
It's mad.
So
Oh my
it is
God.
surreal.
So
Yeah.
do you want to give us a like
A
a
background.
background about yourself?
Okay. Well, my name is Janish, like the girls said. In terms of a background of myself, I would say like obviously I met you guys in college.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much where the friendship kind of began. Probably Abby more than you, Ellen. I feel like I know Abby more than. That's why she left us.
Hey, times
She
were
left
hard.
us.
Times were hard.
That's why.
Times were very hard. I had to leave.
So
Yeah.
that's pretty much where the friendship stems from college, just,
Yeah.
you know, the pharmaceutical degree was doing Abby some kind of way.
No, stop.
Every
What?
time I saw you were always in a hurry. Like you were never like, "Hi, Abby." And you're like, "I gotta go." I'm like, oh, "Okay, bye, Abby."
Oh
That was
man,
either
I
you or life was stressing my
think
life.
it was more lucky than uni, to be fair. I was gonna say, I
You
think
know
it was
that uni was stressful,
lucky.
Janet.
Yeah,
Please.
no.
Oh
I heard your course is special. It's different
God.
from other courses, so
Oh
I understand.
it was crazy.
So what do you do at the moment? Do you work full time?
Yes. Oh, I work in financial services.
Honey.
we're praying. We're still praying.
That's what all of you say. We're still praying. Then you see them buy their Teslas. We're still praying.
I work in financial services, and I am soon to be mom of two next year. Really excited about that.
You're having a dog, by the way.
Okay. I'm obsessed with her too.
I want a girl. Like, I don't want a boy anymore.
Everyone is praying a girl into my life, and I don't know why. Because I think I make a great boy mom. Like, I'm.
You've done it now. You need to experiment on the girl now.
I know, but the thing is to play to your strengths. I feel like I want to continue to play to my strengths.
But don't you? You need a challenge because you said okay. You told me you don't want to have another one after this one.
Yes.
Yeah, so you need a challenge.
No, I don't want to try.
Be easy like that.
I feel like I know how I am as a female, and I was not the easiest of females to raise. I just don't know if I want to raise a female.
Oh, now you don't want to go.
You know, I'm like, how do you discipline yourself out of your child?
that's for you to figure out. So we're praying for a girl. Yes. We are definitely praying God answer. We are praying for a girl when it reveals. I want a healthy girl. That's gonna not stress her. Because yes. I was gonna say
We don't want stress.
That's good. Okay. So
yes, let's go in.
Yeah, let's go in. Let's go in deeper.
So yes, so we said okay, first child is 7.
Yes.
So that would mean you had him. How old did you have him?
I was 19 turning and I was 19 when I found out I was pregnant and 20 by the time he was born. So,
So what was your first feeling and thought when you found out you were pregnant?
Denial, straight up denial. Mm. Like, I'm not pregnant. Who's pregnant? Where? Mm. From where to whom? No, I don't know what you're talking about. It was denial for a very long time. I just went into a place of denial, and I just refused.
How did you find out?
I was actually in college, so my GP, so my doctor is actually also the college doctor, which actually worked out well for me. So he's actually he's based in the college as well as my actual family doctor. So I was going up to the common room. I don't know if you guys recall the common room.
Yeah,
so the big stairs, and I felt really dizzy. Like, I literally almost fell down the stairs. One of the girls caught me and she was like, oh my God, are you okay? And I was like, no, I feel really lightheaded. And so I sat down for a little bit, and then I just decided to go in and talk to him about it, because I've also been feeling lightheaded for a while now, but that was the worst I felt it, where I almost fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
So I went in and I was like, I've been getting these really dizzy spells, and I just don't know what's wrong. Maybe I'm stressed. And then for some reason, his first point of contact was, let's take a pregnancy test. I said, why? I was just looking at him like, what does that have to do with anything? He's like, well, when was your last period? I was like, again, sir, dizzy spells. You're not listening.
You were in denial, girl. She was like, why are you questioning me?
Yeah, I was thought he was going to give me like painkillers or like, you know, I don't know, just like something. I didn't know what I went in there expecting, but it was just not pregnancy anyway.
Yeah.
So I took the test because I was like, I'm not pregnant, whatever. And I came back and he was like, you're 9 weeks. I said, sorry, pardon? Pardon?
9 weeks?
Where? Where? And obviously he knows my parents, and I was like, how does this patient doctor
work again?
And he's like, oh no, it's confidential. Like, it's me and you. I said, like, oh, okay, cool.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so I was 9 weeks and he's just
like the first trimester almost done.
Yeah, the first trimester is almost done, and I didn't realize I was pregnant because one, my period is very spasmodic anyways. Okay. So I have gone periods where I haven't gotten it and everything is fine and I'm not pregnant, and then I get it.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, I was in denial. I think part of me knew that I was, but another part of me was like, no way, it couldn't be, because it's inconsistent. My mother nature is inconsistent anyway. So like, she's just playing games.
Yeah, she's just playing hide and seek.
Yeah, she'll be here next month, whatever. Yeah, no, she was. She never came. We looked for her. We didn't see her. she was gone. And yeah, it was such a weird and surreal moment. Like, I remember it so well, even though it was like 7 years ago. I think it's one of those things that will never leave me.
Yeah.
And I'll probably carry it for a while.
As obviously a Nigerian child. Because you're technically still a child in their eyes. How was that? Like, how did you present it to them? At what time frame did you present it to them? Like, yo, y'all gonna be grandparents.
For me, like I said initially, I was in a state of denial, and that carried on for a very, very long time.
Wow.
So finding out that I was pregnant, I kind of just shut down. Like, you know, when you just turn off your computer, you don't even save anything. You don't close the browser. That was me. I just shut down. I went into a silent place. I went into a place of denial. I said nothing. So no one knew in college.
For ages, you did. And because you were going to the gym a lot, you did not look pregnant whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like at all.
My friends didn't know. My inner circle didn't know. Strangers and acquaintances didn't know. My parents didn't know. I just carried on every day like everything was normal. And because my body didn't change in the sense that I didn't have the traditional pregnancy symptoms. So I wasn't vomiting. I didn't put on any weight in a sense. I didn't have any symptoms.
Maybe because you told, I might try that when I get pregnant. You probably told
your mind it's not happening.
Well, that's what my mom said when I told her, after I told her, whenever we talk about it years later, she was like, oh, DRM, like you held yourself.
Yeah.
You just got on with this. And therefore your body couldn't even, you didn't even allow your body to
feel it.
Feel what it needed to feel.
Yeah.
And it was just surreal. So no, I didn't tell them. I was 6-7 months when I told my parents I was pregnant.
Wow. And mind you, you live with them. And mine is how?
It was easy because like I would go to, like I get up in the morning and I go to college, and I would come home from college and I would say hi to my mom and I would just leave. Like I wouldn't linger around her or anything. So there was no, and also like also my mom is visually impaired, so she wouldn't know anyways unless she touched me.
Right.
To look out for pregnancy. Do you know what I mean? So like I said, because I wasn't vomiting, I'm sure if I was vomiting or whatever, she would have figured it out that something's up with my child.
Okay.
But again, because I had no symptoms, so even my sisters didn't know. Because there was nothing, I wasn't showing and I wasn't acting like a pregnant person. I remained, everything was normal. In everyone's eyes, Janet was still Janet and there was nothing there.
Yeah.
And that was it. And so, I just carried on as normal.
So you said that, obviously you said that, oh, you know, you were in denial for what seemed like 6 months. How did that make you feel though?
Yeah.
Because that must have been a very lonely time. Like just you know, something's growing in you regardless of whether you chose to, you know, ignore that fact. But how did it feel like? Because that's like, not...
Although I was in, like, when I said denial, I was in denial in terms of I wasn't ready to say it out loud and acknowledge it. But in doing that, I was still going to my doctor's appointments.
Okay.
My doctor saw me every week. I still went for my antenatals in, at this point, it was in Drodha. So I was catching the bus every couple of weeks to go to Drodha.
You are still superwoman.
So I was taking care of myself in that sense, but I just wasn't ready to talk about it and to say it out loud. Oh, like I wasn't ready to say to anybody, I'm pregnant. Like I was like, it didn't even sound right when I would say it out loud in front of myself in the mirror. I'm like, that just sounds wrong. Carry on, please. You know, I didn't know how to say it. And I think it was more wrapped in the shame and the guilt of it rather than because obviously I have great friends and I had great friends at the time and they would have happily stepped up and helped me. Mm-hmm. I didn't want it as well. I didn't want their help and in that moment I didn't want anybody in my hurt.
Is it more that you didn't want the pity?
I think for me, I'm not very good at receiving love in the sense that I'm very quick to be there for people.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to me receiving it, I'll be the first one to say, oh, no, it's okay, I got it. That's my favorite line. I got it. I got this. Just stop that. You know, but at the same time, I'm also like, let me help you. Why won't you let me help you? I want to be there for you. Yeah. But then when it's time to receive reversed. It, I'm like, no, it's okay. I can handle this by myself.
Are you the first daughter?
I am.
That's the thing. We're too strong. Yeah. We're too strong for our own good. Yeah. Stubborn,
very stubborn. We know everything.
Yeah. And when you told your parents, how did you take him? So then at this point it was 6 months. So there's basically 3 months left.
Yeah.
3 months left. How did they take it?
I've never seen my mom cry in all my 19 years. I've never seen my mom cry in the way that she cried. She was hurt. Mm. And
was she hurt that you didn't tell her or that you were pregnant?
I think it was a little bit of both. Mm. Like
was
my mom
notice.
My
was she hurt that she didn't notice?
I think she was hurt that she didn't notice, and I feel like she took it personal in the sense that she took it as a personal failure upon herself.
Mm.
And as did my dad as well, but more my mom, because I said, I've never seen my mom in that space before, and that hurt me more than anything else. In that moment, I just saw her, and my dad said it to her, and she didn't say anything, and all I saw was just the tears coming down her eyes, and she sat down in the living room, and she just cried.
Wow.
And you know, and she was talking in Yoruba, and it was everything sounds so deeper in Yoruba.
Yeah. it was
that, you know, Tanimo share moment, you know, questioning her maker in this moment. And I was like, I've done this to her. I'm making her question where she's gone wrong in life. Yeah. And I'm like, God damn it. I fucked up. And that was the moment I knew that I was like, yeah, this is going to take a while.
This is the moment she knew she fucked up.
Yeah.
And how long would you say from that moment, how long did you say it took them to actually open you with welcoming arms again and then take Daniel?
My mom, the minute Daniel was born, the dynamic changed. Mom and I got very close.
Yeah.
I think, but then I also think me becoming a mother made me understand my mom better, because my mom and I weren't close prior to me becoming pregnant. Like, I didn't really have that a close relationship with my mom, although I love my mom and I respect my mom and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
but she wasn't my friend. Yeah, she was my mom, and that was it. Whereas I had a closer relationship with my dad prior to being pregnant. Dad and I were, you know, we bantered, we were friends, we gossiped. It was that father daughter friendship. We had that.
Yeah.
And so with my mom, I got my relationship back with my mom straight away after I had Daniel. With my dad, we don't have a relationship anymore.
Really?
No, it's not the same. We don't have that communication line anymore, because a lot was said and a lot was done, and we've just never gotten back to that place. And I'm 27 now, so I've made peace with that. And I'm like, that's okay. You know, it's like now that I'm pregnant, I know that when I give birth, my body's not going, I'm never going to have pre-baby body back. You accept the new for what it is and you carry on. And that's where I am with my dad.
So do you think with him, maybe because at that stage you were still in his head, you're his little girl. It was more like
I said, my dad, more than my mom, my dad took it very personal. Like, very, very personal.
You guys were close. Why couldn't you confide in me?
You know,
I feel like he was like, how could you do this to me? And I'm like, no one was considering you when this was happening, sir. You were not a thought process, okay? You did not cross my mind at any point in time. I apologize.
Exactly. It's like, I'm sorry, but no. But I know, but people do tend to... Unfortunately, people do tend to turn things to themselves and forget that I'm the one going through this now.
Yeah.
So,
Dad took it very personal, and it was it really carried the chip on his shoulder for a while. And I was like, I'm trying to heal, so I don't have time to be apologizing every other week to you about this. So you stay there and I'm gonna leave you there, and whenever you're ready, just let me know.
And Janet, what would you say was the hardest part of being a mother?
Of becoming a mom.
What would you say is the hardest part?
I think for me, what I found the hardest was just dealing with the emotional side of things.
Okay.
like I found the actually being pregnant part easy and carrying him easy, and I had an easy birth and I had an easy pregnancy. But what made it hard was the emotional side of it. The home made it hard for me. And it's such a, like when you say it out loud, I feel like home should have been the safe place. It wasn't in that season. It wasn't. Home was toxic. Home was not where I wanted to be. Mm. Home made it harder for me. And yeah, so.
But then what would you say, like, if to actually last, now you're a mom, what would you say the hardest part of being a mom is, like, when it comes to that?
I think for me, it's still trying to maintain my identity, you know, still trying to maintain Janet as I am Daniel's mother.
Yeah, because like you said, you got pregnant at 19. So that's the time when most of us were literally starting our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and trying to, and finding yourselves and figuring out. Yeah, and I was now becoming someone's mom. And I was like, right, but I didn't want my identity to just be Daniel's mom. I am more than just Daniel's mom, you know. So I think for me, the hardest part of motherhood was also maintaining my identity. But not even maintaining, even finding it, first of all, because I still didn't know who I was yet.
Yeah.
And how I wanted to be and who I wanted to be and what way I wanted to be. And I was like, okay, so this navigating the two and trying to find a balance between the two, because I still have to remember that I am now somebody's mom.
Yeah.
I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to hurt him.
Yeah.
I want to provide for him. I want to take care of him. I want to be responsible for him. But at the same time, I'm like, but I gotta live a little bit too.
Yeah.
I'm still only 20, 21, 22. You know, I want a date.
We're coming to that. I need to talk about that in a second.
You know, that kind of. So it was weird. It was actually weird because I found that it matured me quicker, even though I already have like a mature air about me. But then it even made me more serious than I really wanted to be. And I was like, God damn it.
That's real, to be fair. That's real. Like, you see people who are young moms and you just wonder, like, wow, because me looking at like people around me that had kids when I was just, when we were just starting life, I used to think, I don't even know how to look after myself. Now I've got to look after someone else. And from what it sounds like, did you have that support when Daniel was born? So did you have that?
When Daniel was born, No, I didn't take a break in terms of college. So I went back to college a week after I had Daniel.
And that was
mainly more me than lack of support. It wasn't because I didn't have support. It was because I was so adamant that I didn't want anything to change. I wanted a sense of normalcy. I wanted to see the girls. I didn't want to be a stereotype. I didn't want people to say, can you see she got pregnant, she dropped out of college, blah, blah, blah. It was more outsiders seeing it than me, or lack of support, or my family not being there for me. My mom was actually there for me. And like I said, I went back to college a week after I had Daniel, which means my newborn was at home with my mom the whole time. And I would come home and I would breastfeed him in between classes and go back. And then, you know,
one week after having him, people have maternity leave longer than that.
You're a superwoman.
Honestly.
No, I actually, looking back on it now, and even with my therapist, we both agreed that should never have happened. No. I should not have done that. Because that did more damage
in
the long run.
That's a lot.
Because then what happened was, I went into my final year, I failed all my modules, like, failed with the capital F. 12 modules, I only passed 3, and I just about passed 3, which kind of effed up my GPA, and I had to do the entire year again. So it didn't work.
It's like, you might as well have taken your year out.
I might as well have just taken the year out, but I didn't want to. I wanted to go back, and I wanted to.
It's because that little voice in your head saying, I'm not a failure. I can do this.
That was what was fueling it. You know, the hurt was fueling my decision. I was embarrassed, and I was like, me sitting in my parents' house. When all my mates are in college, that's a lie from the pit of hell. I'm going back to school. We'll figure it out.
Janet, can I ask, did you have any support from Daniel's father at any point?
So the situation with Daniel's dad is, like I've said this to my friends, my closest friends, I don't even regret getting pregnant. And I don't have any regrets in life, but I do regret who I got pregnant for. Getting pregnant was never never my problem. Because at the end of the day, if it was going to happen, it was going to happen.
Of course.
I wish, and if I could change anything, that's what I would change. The person, I would have chosen better. Not just for me, but for Daniel as well, because I feel like he deserves better. And that was something that I struggled with for a while. Having to forgive myself that I have denied you of something that you have a right to because I didn't choose someone with a bit of decency and common sense.
But then...
You can't really...
See, with life, things are meant to happen.
You can't put that pressure on yourself.
Yeah, I know. But when you're 20 years old, that's the kind of thing you're carrying around. You're looking at your child and you're thinking, I already failed you. Because you're being raised in a one-parent household. But eventually I learned that his decision to not want to be a part of his child's life is not on me.
Yes, 100%.
But that took years to get to that point. That took years. That took years of already speaking to myself in such a toxic manner that I was like, you did this. You denied your child of a father. You did this. Because obviously he was at a point where our relationship was, we weren't even an item. And so he couldn't look past that and just be and look at Daniel as an objective being and just be there for him as the innocent party in all of this nonsense. Which I was expecting. Because like when I found out I was pregnant, I wasn't afraid to tell him because I was like, oh no, he's a
human being. Yeah, he can understand.
Like he'll understand and do what do the necessary what he can. Thing. No, he's like, no, I'm not doing that.
Wow.
I was like, sorry. Again, pardon.
So, what? How, if you don't mind me asking, how do you relate that to Daniel? Like, how have you explained that to Daniel the best way you can?
I've not had to yet.
Okay.
Like, we did have an incident last year with Father's Day cards, but I was able to kind of just bypass it with snacks. Shout out to Raising a Foodie.
Just have a sec.
we did have a situation where he came home and I knew it was Father's Day and but he didn't make a card, but he normally does. So I was like, oh, did you not bring any Father's Day card? And he's like, I didn't make one. And I was like, why? He's like, I don't have a dad. Who told you that, sir? He's like, but I don't. And I was like, what about, because he calls my dad Baba.
Yeah.
And my dad, like, plays that role for him. I said, what about Baba? And then it was the first time he said, he's like, that's your dad.
Wow.
It's like when your child is becoming, like, an adult.
He's growing up in front of
you. Yeah, well, he was six, like, at this point. He was six.
Alert. Wow.
So I was like, okay. And I was like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, it's okay. I don't know. Where is he? And I was like, do you want a snack? He goes, well, what do you have? And I was like, yeah, okay.
Wow. I'm not prepared for this.
Literally, that was it. I literally turned around and said, do you want a snack? We had snacks. I took him outside. We went for ice cream. I called my best friend and told her what happened. And she just kind of, you know, just comforted me because obviously it made me sad and kind of triggered me a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're getting closer to this conversation and I'm not ready.
It's come up again. But I think now that you're aware that it's going to come up, I think you'll definitely be more prepared to talk about it.
No, I'm definitely not prepared to talk about it. I'm not.
I'm like, I do not want to talk about this.
No, I really don't, because I don't know even know what I would say to him and how I would say it to him, because the last thing I want him to do is to feel like this is his fault.
I think you will be able to. Definitely, because you're a great mom. You will definitely,
and you guys have that relationship.
100%. Yeah. And like, although his father isn't present in many ways we can see it because we follow you, so we see it. Like every first day. Oh yeah, let's go. I literally watch it. He's the cutest little kid ever. Like, he's so polite. And he's so, well-spoken as well. I'm just like, wow.
That's because they didn't do the baby talk. I don't know how people do baby talk with their kid. No. I don't understand. Yeah. Like, what do you mean he wants water? And he hasn't said water. That's not water. That word he just said. What do you mean? Oh, he said he wants water.
Words, and they're the only ones that understand what they're.
Yeah, you know, and I'm like, you're. That's not universal, but okay, carry on.
Carry on, carry on. Oh gosh.
Okay, so getting into the dating, how was dating after Daniel?
Oh God, men suffered in my hands. I won't lie.
Wow.
Because the opposite happened. So, like, the girls would say, you know, something happened with me that I felt like with other young moms when they become moms. So while young girls that become moms lose their confidence, the opposite happened with me.
Okay.
Beyonce moment. Yeah, like I came into a realization. And I was like, girl, bye. You did. I was like, you had the baby, but did you die though?
Yes.
So the opposite happened. I went into a place where I was overly confident, and but then I was flying the flag of men are trash with my hand and my banner. I had a banner. It was my national anthem. You know, men couldn't talk to me without receiving attitude and, you know, nonsense and just disrespect. Like, a guy would say hello to me, I'm like, just mute it right there. Wow. Carry on, I'm not interested. Wow. All he said was hi.
Bye.
You know, so I was walking around with so much hurt and anger, and I was using that to date. So I was like, so I wasn't dating to fall in love. Yeah. I wasn't dating for marriage, and I wasn't dating because I liked the guy particularly. It was just, but you know, be firewood. I have needs, and they will be met, and that is all you are here for. And when I'm done, you make. Don't call me. I'll call you.
Wow. Yes.
Okay.
You know.
Yes.
It was very toxic.
We'll call you.
Okay? It was very toxic. It was not okay. It was very toxic. I look back on that, and it was embarrassing. It was toxic, and I was like, "Oh Lord, that was a lot of pain you were carrying around." Yeah. Not cute. I think for me, I just had an epiphany moment where I was just like, "If you continue like this," so I moved out of my parents' house, and I got my own place for the first time. So my first time living alone with my child.
Yeah.
I had like a bit of a Britney Spears moment, you know. I cut my hair, you know, shaved it all off, and I kind of just sat with myself, and I was just like, "You're not okay. You're not okay. You're carrying. You're hurt. Your heart is broken. You're hurt. You're angry at so many people, and you're carrying this baggage around with you, and you're dragging it everywhere." And you're not making any progress because you're doing things in pain. You're letting the pain choose what's happening.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, I think it's time for me to heal. Mm. And just to get better and to talk to someone and to speak to a professional and to get it out there and to put mechanisms in place that would actually help me move forward. Because at this point as well, like, my career was just non-existent. I had a job, but I didn't have a career.
Yeah.
Money was an issue. I wasn't happy. I just didn't feel good about myself. I didn't. The only thing that made sense was Janet the mom, but Janet as a person, just didn't know
what that was.
Which is what you didn't want to.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, you know, the only part of my life that makes sense is my child. Why? I want everything else to make sense. Yeah. I want everything else that falls into place. I want to be happy again. Mm-hmm. I miss me. I missed the me before I became Daniel's mom. She was cool. We like her. Yeah. We want her back. You know, it's funny, I love as well. I'm a sucker for love. So I was like, I missed that part as well. I don't even hate men. I think they're great.
I don't even
hate men. It's just someone
very shitty.
You know, honestly, I was like, I don't even have an issue with men.
That's so funny.
I have great male friends.
How many times have I had the men are shit stage? Oh, yeah. And I've been cold hearted. Like, honestly. And you lose out on some good men in that process.
Yeah.
You actually.
But yeah, because like not everyone's going to deal with it. Because funny, some men that are very self-aware and in tune with themselves, they can see your toxic shit from afar. Yeah. They can see that you're still hurt from stuff. You're still going, so I'm going to leave you there and circle back to you another time.
Go on.
But while they're circling back, they might find another person. And now, so you don't want them to circle back. You want them to pinpoint you and say, no, I'm the one.
Yeah, and they also say hurt people.
Of course.
Yep, I believe that because I've done that.
did the men have an issue, or did the people you were talking to have an issue about
having a child?
Yeah, with you having
Actually the opposite. My dating life actually kind of received like a little booster after Daniel.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. I another thing that didn't happen. No, I did not have an issue dating at all. Like for me, when I introduced myself to men, by the end of our first conversation, you already know I'm a mom. It wasn't something that I was hiding.
Yeah.
It was not a case of, like, my mom used to advise me. She'd be like, maybe don't tell them you're a mom straight away. Let them get to know you. I was like, to know me is to know that I'm Daniel's mom.
Yes.
That's me as well. Or, you know, that's my identity as well as part and parcel. So sometimes as a joke, I would even say, hi, I'm Daniel's mom. And be like, who? It's like, Daniel's mom. Who's Daniel? Oh, my kid. Oh. You know, sometimes that's what they got before they got, I am Janet.
Oh my goodness. That's good. That's a good way to say it.
So no, I don't have any like bad stories with dating with a mom.
Their
mother's it was different. But the actual guy himself, no, not your shoes. Upon their mother's finding out that they're dating a single mother.
How was that?
A whole different ball game. Yes. I had one mom cursed me out on the phone.
What?
And told me to stay away from her son. I was like, cool, no problem.
What?
I hear you loud and clear.
The audacity.
It was actually so bad.
I literally put something up. Was this a Nigerian mom?
Yeah, it was a Nigerian mom.
What I'm saying, of course. They have so much vim and audacity to disrespect people. I was watching, I don't know if you watch Sex Education, right? And there was a scene. There was a scene where they were taking a family picture, and the grandmother turned to her grandson's girlfriend and said, I think he said something like, "I do care. I've told you not to come into this picture. What if you and Jim cop?" I was like, "What?" I was like, wow, you are so rude.
It's got no chills. No chills
whatsoever. No. She got my number.
What?
She rang me. She rang my auntie. She's like, tell your daughter to just not be gallivanting around my son. We're not looking for that in our family. I was like, all right, cool. But that's the nice version. Like, there's a lot of she used a lot of adjectives and verbs and words that I'm just like, ooh, that one hurt a little bit. Ooh, that one hurts too.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Jesus. When will we ever change? When will we ever change?
So, no, she wasn't having it. She was like, shut that shit down now.
What? It's not a nice way to feel.
Do you know, where's that guy now?
Oh.
Well, he's married now.
Okay.
And they have a daughter. And I just pray that the kindness that his mother showed me, that her granddaughter never experiences that. That's all I'm going to say. There was nothing wrong with her not wanting me for her son. But she did not have to. Like, I'm somebody's child too. She didn't have to speak to me in the manner that she did and say the things that she said.
It's not nice. She's just child at the end of the day.
Yeah. Her delivery was very tasteless and poor. Very tasteless and poor. Like, she could have easily said, you know, nice to meet you. You seem like a nice girl, but
however,
she
could have just, her son is her priority.
She didn't even have to reach out to me. I didn't have to hear about it. She could
really
just
had so much vim in her. Because normally, you just go to the son and be like, look, ways to
take
do
his
these
phone,
things.
Take everything.
Yeah.
Now she took matters into her own hand and dealt with it accordingly. And she scares me a little bit because I'm like, you would go into your son's house and disrespect his wife. You have that tendency. You would.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you to it.
Wow.
Definitely.
That is mad.
Okay. Yeah. And now, you're pregnant. Congratulations again.
Woohoo!
very much. Thank you very much. This pregnancy is so different from Daniel. Yeah. My God, this child has shown me Pepe.
you were in denial the first time.
No, you can't deny this one. No, this little bundle of joy, my blessing, has made his or her present known.
No, you see what he said.
But I've been calling it a her and a he every other day, so I don't know. We have boy names and we have girl names.
And depending
on the mood, I will call it he or she.
We have received that exclusive
here on SLF Podcast.
Yes. Okay, I'll tell you what. When is this episode going out?
Probably in a few weeks. Yes. About 2-3 weeks.
2-3 weeks.
Okay. Well, in that case, I will give you an exclusive. You ready?
Drum roll, please. Do you know?
I know my gender. Yeah, we have our gender.
Are you gonna tell us?
I'm gonna tell you.
Okay. Drum roll, please.
We're having the baby girl.
Yes! Oh my God! Best baby announcement!
I'm so happy! Yes! Oh my God!
Oh, I cannot.
Congratulations! I'm so happy.
Thank you.
God, be so cute.
Oh my god, Helen cries, right? She's crying.
I'm so emotional. She's actually crying. I'm done. Ellen, you are such a sweetie.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
God bless her. He's gonna be such a great big brother.
Oh, he is. He's obsessed already.
I'm so happy for her because think about it. She has a big
and
boss.
He's at a good age as
yes,
well.
Yes. And he's alert.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Aww.
Oh, girl. Girl.
Congratulations to you.
Yes. All of you that voted for girl, these are all right.
Yes.
No one's voted for a boy. Do you know what I had to do? I had to take my second phone and go on my own Instagram and vote for a boy. I was like, why are you people like this?
Why would you want one? You already have one. We like one of each.
My desire was for a boy. I was rooting for a boy. I was hoping for a
boy. God's plan,
now you're going to have a girl.
Yes!
So excited. Are you going to reveal it or are you just keep it?
Oh, we're going to reveal it because I already have the video. Daniel did the gender reveal. He popped the balloon. So did you know
before you popped the balloon? Or
yes, because what happened was like we got our gender scan. Okay. And we got her to write it down. We're gonna do this big reveal with our family and friends. And the midnight of that night, neither of us could sleep. We were just tossing and turning. I was like, and I looked at him and I was like, you want to know, don't you? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, me too. So he brings it out of the cupboard and I'm like, right, open it. Let's find out. And I'm actually glad that we found out just the two of us.
Yeah.
Because like it was such an intimate moment that I was like, you know what, I don't want to share this with anybody else. I don't know if that sounds selfish. I was like, I don't want anyone to see me crying in this blubbering mess that I am right now.
Did you cry?
I did cry. I cried and then immediately I felt immense pressure and I was like, oh my God, I have to be a perfect woman now. I'm raising a woman.
No.
I was like, I'm about to raise a woman, a young woman. I was like, oh my God.
There's perfection in imperfection.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah, no.
It's me that's having this baby. I'm like, wow.
He's very excited.
I'm looking at her features already. Yeah, her little uniform, like already, you know, uniform. I'm not even.
You know, you just fast forward to year five. Like, yeah,
okay, just to like, okay, so carry, so okay, baby, it's okay, gonna be biracial.
Biracial, she's biracial.
What is it like dating outside of your race?
Honestly speaking, So he's not the first white person I've dated. Oh, so, okay. Yeah, so I've dated white men before.
Yeah.
And honestly, with men, I don't see any difference. I feel like a man that wants to treat you well will, yep, regardless of his color, of his skin, and his... And obviously not, there's cultural differences, but in terms of character, like a black man, a white man, a Nigerian man, an Irish man, whatever, they're all men to me. Yeah. At the end of the day, if he wants to treat me right, he will. And if he doesn't, he won't. Yeah. And whether or not he's Irish will not make a difference. Yeah. Now, the culture side of it is the make or break. Mm. Now, there are cultural aspects of dating Nigerian men that just come as part and parcel of dating them.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's embedded in our culture.
Of course.
And we act accordingly. Mm. And that's kind of some of the bullshit that I don't have to deal with. With partner, because he's not Nigerian, and yeah, I don't have to do certain things or be a certain way or acquire certain customs, because I don't have to, because that's not his culture, and it works for me because I'm not really even about that life in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's at the moment it's great and it's working and it's worked, so we're sticking with it.
So, and he is a very nice guy as well.
So for yeah, that's on his side. Was it, how have they taken it on your side of things? Like, how, you know, because being Nigerian, I can imagine there's already a shock that you're a young mom and then you're bringing...
Well, I feel like for my parents, I've already shocked them. So there was nothing really I was going to ever do again in my lifetime that would shock them.
Parents, listen, once you... For all you listeners out there, if you are young, if you want to test your parents' waters, if you know you want to really live your life... First, do something to shock them.
Very, very.
After that,
that's it.
You can't amaze them anymore.
You can't. I honestly couldn't. Like, no. I feel like getting pregnant at 19, that was the shock factor. And I've done that. And I've removed that. So they've already been shocked. So anything that I'm going to do after that was not going to do anything to them. My parents were not shaking. They were not triggered. They were just, my mom was like, as long as you're happy. Okay, just bring him to the house. Let's put a face to the name. Let's know his parents, blah, blah, blah. And then my dad found out like a minute before he came to our house.
Oh, wow.
So my mom knew months beforehand.
Yeah, but that happens.
Dads only ever know when they're about to knock on the door.
I told my dad, my boyfriend's coming. Oh, okay, what's his name? Oh, his name is Lee or whatever. And he was like, oh, that does not sound like a Nigerian name.
Wait a minute.
And I was like, because it's not Nigerian, dad. I was like, okay, what is he then? I was like, he's white. And then literally the doorbell was like, ding, ding. I was like, oh, and he's here now. Excuse me, one moment. So I just kind of left my dad, opened the door, and I was like, hi. He's like, hi. And I was like, and then my dad came down and he was himself. My mom introduced herself. My siblings introduced themselves. We had a great Christmas. It was actually a nice first meeting.
Do you get him to Dobale or anything?
I didn't have to because I'm not the first Nigerian he's dated, so he already knew what to do. And he had to accordingly.
I love him.
We know who we're dealing with. I'm not. He dates black, so I didn't have to teach him anything or educate him on anything. He just kind of knew what to do and he just fell into place.
Can you see that? My god, so, I love it. Absolutely love it.
I was like, you're not going to be calling him by his first name, you're not going to call my dad Joseph, he's going to smack you in the face. But I didn't have to have that conversation with him. It was a conversation we didn't have, and I'm looking back on it now, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, we actually never talked about how you were supposed to behave, but okay, whatever.
Kind of Caucasians make me very happy because I don't have to explain it. If I brought a Caucasian man home and he dobaled, like, do you understand that I'm marrying you?
He did tilt his head and he did the dressing and called my mom Ma.
That's enough.
It's more than hi, Joe.
How's it going, Joe?
No.
You're right.
Even my dad offered him alcohol and he didn't accept. He stuck to the soft food.
Oh my
And I was like, you know, do you want a drink? And he's like, no, I'll just have the orange. Orange is working fine for me. I said, better person.
Oh, better respect God. Yourself. Not like, hi, Joe. Yeah, pass us a beer, dude. Fucking hell.
So, no, it was a good first meeting. It went really well. Nothing, like, triggered them. He spoke to them very politely, and they engaged with him well as well. And you know, even my dad with his Irish accent, the moments where he couldn't understand him, he just smiled and nodded and just agreed with whatever was being said. So, yeah, just...
That's really nice.
I have a question, actually. Do you feel like, how do you feel raising a female that is biracial? Do you feel like you have to change certain things that you have to deal with,
or are you raising her as a black woman?
Are you going to do that because there's going to be certain questions that she will ask?
My best friend and I have had this conversation, which is kind of one of the reasons why I didn't also want to have a girl. I feel like I could handle a biracial boy more than I can handle. Because, you know, the general stereotype of biracial girls is like they tend to, you know, they're obviously lighter in complexion. They become a fetish for black men, fetishize them sometimes, and then white guys fetishize them because they don't know what they are either. There's that racial ambiguity about them. And then depending on how the girl is raised, she might turn around to you and be more inclined to her white side. And, you know, and be like one of those, and not be able to identify with her African side. And, or not even want to identify with her. Which is my biggest, that's my biggest fear. Her not even wanting to identify with us. And thinking, you know, I'm a black woman, and I am a strong black woman, and I am a beautiful black woman. And to think that my daughter could grow up one day and look at black women and think she's better than us, being simply because she's light skin and has curly 4C hair.
Or be treated a different way by black people because they'll be jealous of her curly hair.
Exactly, you know, like her curly hair or features or whatever. And then, so those are my concerns. But I feel like my discussion with my friends is that it all starts from how I raise her.
It starts at home.
You know, it starts at home. It starts from what I'm feeding into her. And so it's more nurture over nature. Nature can attempt to take its course, but how I nurture her will trump nature. Like, nature says that she's racially ambiguous. She's not. You are a black woman, sweetie. You know, when you go out into the world will see you as a black woman, as I told Lee's mom. You know, these moms come out of nowhere. She's like, oh, we should maybe... We were talking about names. And she was like, I want to call her... If it's a girl, let's call her Maeve. I said, I cannot have a black daughter called Maeve. Siobhan. She was, why not? I was like, because it just doesn't fit. A black girl.
Hi, Siobhan. Okay.
Her black friends will not be able to identify with her if her name is Maeve.
But then, do you not feel like, because obviously you can have a couple of names, do you not feel like she's both, she should have
a middle name? I already feel a sense of protection over her in terms of making, especially for her African side, I'm so determined to make sure that she, not that she fits with us, but that I don't do anything on my part to cause a further void, because there's already going to be a void in the sense that she has a white father, and she has white grandparents, and she has a white side. We already know how we see them. I know how I see certain biracial people when they, because mainly because of how they carry themselves as well. I'm like, listen, sis, you just keep your energy over there.
Okay?
We're already dealing with racism from white folks. I don't have time to be dealing with it from you as well. Because you don't want to educate yourself on your African side. Goodbye. I don't want that for her.
You feel the need to protect.
I already feel the need to protect that and to educate her and to let her know that first and foremost, you're a black woman. Period.
I think that needs to come from you and your partner. Definitely needs to.
You should not be afraid to let her know her white side.
I'm not afraid to let her know. Funny thing is, I feel like she will definitely know her white side because my partner's family are very involved and very hands-on, which I love about her.
I think this is what I'm hearing. It's more that she will migrate towards them.
She will probably migrate because of how involved and the role that they're going to play, which is, as a mother, I want that. I want her to know extended family. I want her to have a great relationship with her grandparents, which she will. But I know how Nigerians are. You know, I'm like my partner's mom has dinners every other couple of weeks, and she has us all down to the house, and she like, you know what I mean, like, whereas Nigerian parents don't do stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's like, the thing. That's what I'm saying. Where it'll be more like, it'll be more of a like, oh God, we need to change as a race. Oh my God, we need to.
You know what I mean? Like, they're very family oriented, and you know. Like, they're always hosting each other and always having each other in each other's homes doing like all these activities, or just having the grandkids down, or even just like she'll take the grandkids and tell their parents to go and they pick them up when the weekend is over. So that kind of thing. Whereas I know with my Nigerian side and my Nigerian culture, the way we rear our kids is different. Do you know what I mean?
Doesn't mean they don't love them.
That's what I'm saying. Not that they don't love, but because she'll have. Because she'll have that other side to compare it to.
Yeah.
She'll gravitate more.
I have to raise you with iron hands. I'm like, what's that?
That's actually like, what, yeah. No. They're more...
Tough love.
Yeah, they're more tough love.
They're more tough love than they are anything, you know what I mean? So it's...
But I feel like our generation, we are changing
of course.
Oh, we are. Obviously, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, but it's just, I'm just more aware of it now that I'm now like, oh, I'm having a biracial
baby.
Baby.
Oh my God, that is so good. So just before we end the podcast, I did want to touch on your fitness. Yes. You're really into your fitness, girl. Where did that come from?
Where does the motivation come from?
This girl wake up in the morning, hopscotch, jump.
She's saying this pregnancy is hard. This girl,
even with this pregnancy, this girl was still.
I'm not going to half of what you're doing.
She'll be walking. You brisk walking.
I still have energy to be cooking meals. Like, nah, Janet, what's going on?
Come on,
please. Why are you? Maybe you should sell something. You should sell what you had.
I think to get an understanding of where it comes from, it would be the back to the beginning. My dad. That's where I get it from. My dad. That was our thing. That was what we did together. As a teenager, watching him, like, my dad was a bus driver and he worked mad shifts, but this man would still wake up at 4 a.m., do a workout before he'd get ready to go to work, go for his 12-hour shift on the bus, dropping all of us to college, and still, you know. And then even looking at my dad as well, his physique, he's a fit man. He's a good-looking man. He maintained his physique. You know, he dresses well. He works out. He speaks fast. And, okay, you know, that's nice. And being his daughter, and then also being his the fact that we were friends, it was something that we did together. You know, we'd go for runs together and we'd work out together, and that's where I fell in love with it. In love with it from him. I got it from him and watching him do it. So then I started doing it, and then it just, so I didn't see it as a chore.
It was a lifestyle.
It was my lifestyle. It was my lifestyle from when I was a teenager. So even when I got pregnant with Daniel, it was just something that I continued to do because I couldn't
see myself. I need that energy.
And now that I... being pregnant now, it's the same thing. You know, I think you just have to get to a place where it's your lifestyle. And as long as you continue to do crash diets or restrictive lifestyle, it will never be a diet. And I think that's what most people, especially women, are finding difficult, is that they see it as another thing to fit into their schedule.
Rather than just taking it one day at a time
and just saying, you know, this is what I'm going to do today and we're going to do it and that's it.
And it's literally a mental choice though, because get myself sitting down like the night before, like, I'm gonna wake up tomorrow, I'm gonna have my green tea, I'm gonna go for my walk, I want this to be my lifestyle. I want that energy to do this thing without thinking, oh, it's such an effort. Do you know that kind of thing?
And that's not to say that you won't have moments where you're just like, you know what, I don't want to, and that's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, next day you shouldn't be, I don't want to, never.
Yeah,
guys, I did 15,000 steps today.
Woo-hoo!
Thank my job. It's beating me.
But I actually have gotten a few people that have like DM'd me and been like, why are you still working out? You're pregnant and blah, blah, blah. I said, you can get acquainted with my blog books and nobody above blocking.
Wow.
You're
in my business.
No, I did. And the funny thing is, it was mostly from guys too. And I'm like, why do people be getting this audacity from? You're like, you've never carried life in your life.
Those fake concerned people, don't mind them.
No, I was her concerned.
Those fake concerned people.
No, but Janet knows I'm not. She knows I'm not fake.
There is concern that I got from the girls, but from some of the girls that I got concern from, even from the way it was worded, I could tell that it was coming from a place of love and genuine, like, girl, we got you.
You don't have to lie.
Like I said, every like of the girls that did text me in the sense of like, oh, you know, take it easy or just be careful. Mm-hmm. The sentiment behind it, and I got like, okay, it's coming from a place of wellness and wishing me well. The mandems in my DMs that were texting me, maybe you shouldn't. I was like, yeah, you know, you need to take several seats, sir.
Maybe,
I
don't see you in your
autonomy. Do you have a room? You know how this works?
Do you have a room? Do you know how this works?
Do you know how this works?
Imagine them bleeding for a day.
Oh God, they couldn't. The thought of that is disgusting.
Yeah, the thought of it is disgusting.
No. Like my partner was okay with it. My doctor obviously gave me the all clear. And he was like, yeah, I think you should continue. And
but not as intense, obviously.
No, it's not. And the funny thing is, it's not. If you look at my videos, they're not intense. And that was a mental struggle for me because I love a good intense workout.
Yeah,
like, you know, I love doing 7 things in one go.
She does hopping, jumping, flipping, jumping, everything.
So slowing down has been like, oof. I have to slow down, but I am, and even now it's like I don't even have to. The bump is like, girl, you better stop all this when you're drinking. I don't know what you're doing.
Your bump, she just popped out, bro. She just popped. I think I was speaking to you like 2 weeks before, and then next there's a bump.
There is a bump. And funny thing is, like, my videos are like weekly, so that's my bump every week, you get to see like the progression. It's so cute.
Oh, you can do like a little time lapse of it. That would be nice.
I haven't been taking enough videos consistently to do a time lapse. So like they're all over the place. So I have like, there's like weeks where it's missing and I'm like, okay, but I didn't take a picture that week. Because I was feeling some type of way. So.
Yeah, you've got different, at least you've got to show her when she's here. Like, this was you at 1 week. This was you at
3 weeks. No, I'm looking forward to having her in my hand, holding her, and just seeing who she looks like.
Yes.
Well, Daniel is your image. So,
I have strong genes, but so does he. Because
that's what I'm saying. It's not going to be you.
I'll be mixed.
It won't be her.
And daughters tend to look like their fathers.
Girls look like their dads.
I look like my dad as well, so I feel like she's gonna come out a mini him, which is actually not so bad because you know he's cute.
You're so cute.
But I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
And thank you for having me.
No, thank you for being so honest. Like, yes, I love it. It's so refreshing.
Anytime. This is how you know when I really enjoy recording a podcast, if I'm quiet. Like if I'm fully quiet, I'm really enjoying listening to what you're saying. Like that was amazing.
Thank you.
No, not at all. Like I said, I wouldn't have agreed to it. That's because I did ask Ellen. I was like, oh, what are we talking about? Just to mentally prepare myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's nothing. Yeah, she's like, that's already. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. And I was like, really?
We spent years talking about all of that. Don't worry about it. I got you.
Oh no, thank you so much. And
thank you for having me.
Yes, and thank you for sharing the sex.
Yes, thank you for sharing. Yes,
absolutely. So so when you come out, then obviously then it will be out there for everyone to know.
Can't wait. Special reveal.
It is a special reveal. I'm probably gonna upload mine next week, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That would be good. Great. But yeah, like I said, thank you for sharing and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Everything that's happening in your life.
Thank you.
We hope, you know, you have a safe delivery. We'll continue checking in on you. We'll probably tell you to stop working out when you're like,
funny thing is, I don't plan to work out like at the end.
Okay.
And the end, I'm probably just going to stick to walking and walk her right out of me. But no, we're not going to be hopping and scotching and all of that. I will take you easy because I'm already waddling as it is.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, okay. So for anyone who wants to follow Janet's fitness page, because she really does post a good workout, to be fair. You can follow her at Lola_fitness. Lola_fitness. If you guys want to start the new year, especially with some videos,
because I'll be postpartum. So there you go.
Exactly. So if you guys want to
do that together, you know,
even the ones that are on there, you can use it to start something. To be fair,
yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, but I am doing it. Yeah, okay.
She's like, I really want to.
I'm like, I usually do a lot. So I'm like, postpartum, I'll be taking it slower.
Yeah, definitely. We don't expect you to be consulting anyone as soon as you come out of the hospital.
Take it easy.
But when she is ready, she definitely slide in a DM. She's really helpful and she's always
and
ready.
She's very
to
nice.
Help. Yeah, very nice. Glad you can tell.
Yeah.
And make sure you guys follow us at the SLF podcast, at the SLF podcast on Instagram. And yeah, hope you guys have an amazing week. Thank you for listening, thank you for tuning in, and thank you all for your support and continuing to listen to this amazing podcast with me and my girl and my and our friends that come on to listen to talk with us.
And like I said, don't be a stranger. If you have anything you want to share with us, come to
we're welcoming. We always want to hear stories. Like, this has been so much fun.
It's been so nice. It's been very
refreshing.
Literally
like wow. But thank you so much, Janet, and we shall catch you all on the next one.
Yes.
Excellent. Bye.
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 Bye, darling.